Amen. Well, it's always, as we said, an honor to be in this pulpit anytime, but especially on a Wednesday night, which is generally Pastor Hagen's venue. This is his time. And with him out of town, then I was asked to fill in tonight. And so it's always an honor to do that. But we get to look at God's Word. Can you imagine? Do you know there's places in the world this would be illegal? There's places in the world you go to jail for doing what we're about ready to do. Preach God's Word. Amen? I'm sorry, you're just going to have to put me in jail. That's all I can tell you. If it becomes illegal, you're going to have to put me in jail. We'll just do it, you know. If it becomes illegal to preach God's Word, I can't help. I'm like the prophet said, there's a fire shut up in my bones. It's got to get out. Paul told the Romans, he said, I have to preach. I've got to come and preach the gospel to you. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. Right? Yeah. Glory to God. Well, we want to look at God's Word tonight. And I want to talk about the life of God. I like to do that a lot because I think it's so important that we understand that we have eternal life now. And it's not something that we're going to get. It's something that we have now. And it does have an impact on our life now. And tonight we're going to look at seven things the life of God does for the believer. Seven things the life of God does for the believer. All right? And, you know, with our time that we have, so many times this isn't like class. I don't have time to let you sit there and, you know, say it 20 times so you can write it down. But seven things the life of God does for the believer. First of all, number one, the life of God makes us new beings or new creatures or new species in Christ. Look at Ephesians 2 to start with. Ephesians chapter 2. The life of God, the life that God lives. You know, Jesus didn't come that we might be born again. He came that we might be partakers of the life of God. That God, in beginning in Genesis 2:7, breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. But when man sinned, we lost that connection to the life of God. But in Christ, he said, I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. What kind of life? God's life. Life the way God has it and the way God lives it. This life of God. Here in verse 15 of chapter 2, it says, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, or that which was against it, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. Now notice this. For to make in himself, notice that, in himself, of twain or of two, one new man, so making peace. That term, new man or new being, is found throughout the New Testament. Of course, the most famous of this course probably is 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's look at that verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. But notice, in himself, it's in Christ. It's not outside of him. This isn't something I do for myself. Amen. You know, I think a lot of people think Christianity is a work on yourself endeavor. Now, that may be religion, but that's not Christianity. A Christianity is a living out of what you've already become on the inside. Any of my own efforts is going to fall short. But thank God for the grace of God that helps me to live the life of God. But I can't, if I couldn't save myself, now listen to me now, if I couldn't save myself, I can't keep myself saved. But what saved me and what keeps me is the same thing, active belief. The word belief doesn't mean one time, it means I believe. I believe. And the Bible over and over says, when you believe, he will take care of that. He'll keep you to the end. So believe doesn't mean I just do what I want. It means I believe it and I live by it. All right? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, it's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Notice that. If we're in Christ, the moment we got in Christ through the new birth, we're born again, we are now a new creation. Say, I am a new creation in Christ. I didn't create myself. God did this. Something God did. It was God's idea. Glory to God. Now notice, when that happens, everything is new. Well, my eye color didn't change when I got born again. All right, my hair color didn't change. Some of my hair got excited and went to heaven, but that's a different story. That's a joke. I didn't know if that happened or not. I actually made that comment one time at a Bible school in another country, and they wrote it down. I said, no. Sorry at my very small attempt at humor, but that is not on the test or even in the Bible, what I just said there. All right? But none of that changed. What changed on the inside? My spirit, man, the real me. I am a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body. And that life of God resides on the inside of us. Jesus said it's a well of living water springing up into everlasting life. Glory to God. Look here in Romans 6 then. The life of God makes us new beings, a new person. And we are to live a new life because of it. That old man of sin, that old man that had the sin nature was crucified, glory to God. He doesn't exist anymore. Look at this, Romans 6:6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. The old man. I don't resemble that old man at all on the inside. It's new. Everything's new. That old man is crucified. So the life of God makes us a new being or a new creation. The word creation literally means a new species. In other words, you didn't exist before you got born again the way you are now. All right? Number two, this isn't an all-inclusive list. These are just seven things, okay? The life of God makes us one with Christ. One with Christ. Look at John 15, the Gospel of John, chapter 15. I fully believe that if we ever, including myself, if we ever get a revelation and walk in the reality of the life of God that's in us, life on this earth will be like heaven. Only difference is heaven has no enemy, right? It has none of the things that we face here, but yet Jesus said, pray, God, that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Heaven on earth, glory to God. But life, that life of God will cause us. I was meditating on this, I don't know if it's this week, last week, sometime, and I sent out an email to all the Rhema instructors and then the different people in the different directors of our campuses in the Americas, from North through South America, from Central and South America, that just a reminder that the life of God is in us. And it's because that life of God is active, it's causing our immune system to drive out every sickness and every disease and every virus and everything, amen, that is of the devil. That life is in us. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Notice that abiding means to live in. He that lives in me. And I in him. This is a living relationship that we have with God. It's alive. Glory to God. It's not something that is some type of, this is not theory. This is not just a dogma. It is doctrine because it's of the Bible. But it's not some false doctrine or false theology. This is a living thing. The life of God is in us. We're in him and he's in us. Glory to God. And the same life that Jesus had in him, we have in ourselves. Let me say that again. The same life that Jesus had in himself, we now have through the new birth. He was the God-man. We're now the man filled with God. Hallelujah. I know that blows our mind. But we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Amen. And God put his life. Jesus said, I came that you might have life. Not now. Not later. And we talk about eternal life, people think of just in the future, but it starts right now. Look at John 17, verse 20 through 23. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their words. So that just brought you and I into this prayer. That they all may be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I'm in you. You, Father, in me and I'm in you. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe you've sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, you in me, that they may be made perfect in one. Sorry. That the world may know you have sent me and has loved them as you've loved me. Well, if this is the life of God and he's in us, amen, then we have that life in us and makes us, notice he said, we will be one even as God and the Son are one. One with God. Say, I'm one with God. Hallelujah. Look at Colossians chapter 1. I love this verse here. I love the Bible itself, you know. Some people, they want to push the Bible, make it some man's, you know, man's writings and different things. No, this is the inspired word of God. Holy men of old spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost and wrote these things down. This is the anointed, inspired by the Holy Ghost, inspired by God word. Now, everything in it God didn't say, but is inspired to be written down. And this word is alive. It's quick and powerful, glory to God. It's alive and powerful. It's active in our lives. Colossians 1:27, speaking about this mystery that was hidden, said, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Say it, I'm one with Christ. He's in me. I'm in him, and we're in God. Glory to God. Number three, this life of God delivers us from Satan's dominion. Look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Thank God we're not under his dominion any longer. He's not reigning over us. We're reigning over him. Just got through teaching a whole term on the believer's authority. And Romans 5:17, this is our keynote verse here. Verse 17 says, for by one man's offense, death reigned by one. Much more then they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life. Now, not rain that comes down. We're not talking about water, rainwater. We're talking about reigning as a king, ruling as a king by one Jesus Christ. In fact, the Amplified says here, shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. As kings in life, shall reign as kings. How's that happen? Because how we do it in life. Look at chapter 6. We were just there. Look at verse 14. Chapter 6, verse 14. For sin, well, Satan is the author of sin. And so this is not just an act of sin. This is sin in all of its workings. Sometimes when you read that, you can put Satan in there and it means the exact same thing. But notice this, for sin shall not, everybody say not, have dominion over you, for you're not under the law but under grace. I'm not under the dominion of Satan any longer. I'm not under the dominion of sin. I'm not under the dominion of sickness and disease. I'm not under the dominion of poverty and lack. Glory to God. And you aren't either, because you're that life of God's in you. Look at chapter 8, Romans 8. Look at verse 2. You bring your shouting clothes tonight. It says, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. How many of you are in Christ? How many of you, Christ is in you? Well, there's a law of life in him. The spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Glory to God. Sin doesn't have dominion over me. I'm free from it. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. You know, how many of you know there's a law we call gravity? In fact, we're all experiencing it right now. That's why you're still sitting in your seat. All right? But you know, there are other laws that you can apply, lift, thrust, different things that are involved that will make an airplane fly. All right? It'll make it fly. And as many overseas trips as I'd fly, you'd think I wouldn't like that show, Air Disasters, but I watch them all the time. I record them and watch them. Annie can tell you. She doesn't watch them with me. But you lose thrust, you lose all that lift, guess what? Gravity takes over. All right? But there, so you can apply a greater law and it will supersede the lower law. Well, the greater law is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And it overcomes the law of sin and death that's in the world. I'm still in this world, but I've got a greater law at work on the inside of me, and it's the life of God. Amen? Hallelujah. I really like that. I like the life of God. We need to live from that position of reign, enthroned. I'm enthroned at the right hand of God. Guess what? Jesus is seated far above all sickness and disease, far above all sin and poverty and lack, far above all oppression and depression and tormenting of your mind and all the things that are going on in the world. We're seated far above all those things. Amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Number four, the life of God makes us more than conquerors. You're still there in Romans 8. Look at verse 37. It says, nay or no, in all these things. He talked about persecution, tribulation, famine, distress, viruses, lockdowns, anything else you can imagine. All these things. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. The life of God. Hallelujah. Look at Ephesians 2 again. Ephesians chapter 2. More than conquerors. That means, guess what? You just partake. The battle's already been won. The thing has been conquered. The more than conqueror is the one who didn't even have to fight the battle, yet sits in the position of the conqueror and has the benefits. Ephesians 2 verse 4 says, but God, oh my goodness, don't get me started. Just don't even get me started on but God. It's the greatest phrase in the whole New Testament, I'm telling you, but God. I don't care what you say before that, when you say but God, something about to change. But God, who is rich in mercy, with his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, even when we were sick, even when we were in poverty, even when we were oppressed, he has made us alive together, quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Seated in the place of the conqueror. Jesus, our conquering King. We're seated there with him. But God, I don't care. Listen. You may say, well, everybody in my family had this by the time they reached certain age. But God. Well, you know my family. We just weren't very good. But God. Well, you know this. My education. But God. It doesn't matter what you say. But God. Well, I was born on the east side. But God. I was born on the west side. But God. I was born on the tracks. But God. It doesn't matter. All that's been done away with. You're a new person in Christ. Hallelujah. Number five, the life of God gives us God's ability. Philippians chapter 4. God's ability, not mine, not my own strength, not my own might. Hallelujah. Not by strength, not by might, says the Lord, but by the Spirit of the living God. Here in Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Woo, man. He'd been talking about having a lot and having nothing. He said, it doesn't matter. I can do all things. How? Through Christ. Everybody say, through Christ. It's through Christ, not in my own strength, through Christ. Go back to John's gospel again, John chapter 14. Hallelujah. It almost does it a disservice to just list seven things that the life of God does. But amen. We're gonna limit it to that tonight. John 14, look at verse 10. Remember, the life of God gives us God's ability. That's what we're talking about here. Verse 10 says, do you believe that I'm in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the work. Believe me, I'm in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Look at this. Verily I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. You see, the works that Jesus did, he did because of the Father. And he said, if you believe in me, why? He knew what was going to happen when we believed, that we were going to have eternal life. Jesus said it. You know, we quote John 3:16 sometimes, and we forget that Jesus actually is the one that said that. Jesus said, for God so loved the world. Jesus was telling us, my Father God, so loved each and every one of you that he gave me his only begotten up to this point son. And you know, after Jesus is raised from the dead, he's called the first begotten from the dead. Because why? You and I are begotten of God. Amen. Whosoever believe in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. Now, we've got that life in us. Glory to God. Look at 2 Corinthians 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. It gives us God's ability. Causing we can do what we could not do before. I couldn't overcome sickness and disease before. I couldn't overcome the sin nature before. I couldn't overcome the mental torment and stress and anxiety of this world. But I can because the life of God's in me. Every time, now listen, every word of God is infused with his life. And every time we act on that word, that life goes into action to bring what we've acted upon to pass because it's in line with what God said. Hallelujah. Right above Galatians, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 4. For though, speaking of Jesus, he was crucified through weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we live through him by the power of God towards you. Paul was saying, look, he said, Jesus was crucified in weakness, but he rose in the power of God. He's alive in the power of God. He said, we're the same way. We're weak, but don't mistake that. We have the life and the power of God working in us. Well, that wasn't exclusive for the Apostle Paul. That's for every one of us. Every one of us gives us God's ability. We said it makes us more than conquerors, but also the life of God causes us always, may say always, to be victorious. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Hallelujah. Young fellow's already running in the Holy Ghost over there. Amen. I wish we all had that much energy, we'd run just like that. Leave him alone, he's not bothering me. Amen. How many of you grew up in church? Everybody's in church. There wasn't no kids' classes. There wasn't no, right? Amen. And the church I grew up in, if you got there late, you sat up front. Man and I grew up in the same church. We didn't know each other then, but I saw she's the same boat we were. We were in the second row a lot, so was her family. Because we got there late. That was probably my fault and my sister's fault that wasn't our plan, but we didn't. And my mother was gifted with I don't care what you think about me. She just marched us right up front, didn't care, just walked right in, just marched us right up front, sat out. Amen. She's still that way. She doesn't care. Amen. That's good. That's a good thing to know. Because if you care what people think about you, your life's going to be controlled by others. Now, I do care what God thinks about me. And I'm not trying to make anybody mad, but there again. All right, 1 Corinthians 15. I'm just giving you some time to look at that. Now, he's talking about this resurrected body we're going to get. And he gets down to verse 55, and he says, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. Now listen, we've been freed from the dominion of sin. So that's why if the sting of death is sin and we're no longer bound by sin, there's no sting in death to the Christian. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's one thing. Listen, I don't care what they come up with, what hits this world. That's why God told Moses to write in Deuteronomy, and if every sickness, every disease, not even mentioned in this book. Amen. Right? He said, write that because there's still things out there because this earth is cursed. All right? It's going to be redeemed, but it's still cursed. But that's all right. That's all right. I've been redeemed. I've been set free. So there's no sting in death. So no matter what comes out there, don't ever be afraid to die, Christian. Don't ever be. Now, don't go run out and play in the street. Not like you're in a hurry. No, you want to fulfill all God's called you to do. You want to live a long life and be satisfied. Amen. But don't be afraid to die. Don't let fear come in there. He says, the strength of the law of sin is the law. Well, Jesus, the law has been fulfilled, so there's no strength left of sin. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you got the victory tonight? Yeah. Hallelujah. How many of you got the victory? It may not look like it. I didn't say if it looks like the victory. I mean, you may look at your check, your bank account and say, I'm not seeing much victory in there. Well, start calling things that be not as though they were. Amen. Start giving. Don't empty out your bank account. If you got bills to pay, pay your bills. But I guarantee you got stuff around the house you could give. Become a giver. Think like a giver. Think like a giver. I'm going to give. I'm going to give something every day. I don't know what it is. You know, every time you go to work, you can give yourself to that company. And when you give, it comes back to us. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. Well, I don't, you know, nobody ever, yeah, I forgot to run, thank you. I don't ever get the good assignments. I don't ever get promoted. I'd say this, you're being stingy at work. Start showing up a little early and staying a little late. Just a little. Start giving yourself your best effort. See what happens. Amen. How many of you have had to manage people before? You've been in those positions. You know what I'm talking about then, don't you? Who do we look for? The people that's busy. They're the ones who will get the next busy thing. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, let's look at where that was, Rome. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. You doing all right? This is number 6. The life causes us always. Everybody say always. Always to be victorious. Verse 14, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place. How often do we triumph? Always. How often do we win? Always. Yeah, see, when we're dealing with the devil, we're like that kid. You know that kid that grew up in your neighborhood during the neighborhood ball games? Neighborhood baseball games, that kid, you know that kid, you're playing in his yard using his bat, his ball. You know that kid, he always got the bat till he hit it where he thought he wanted to hit it. You can sit there 30 minutes while that kid's trying to hit the ball. We're not done till I hit it. That's the way we play with the devil. No, wait a minute, Mr. Devil. This game isn't over until I win. It's not over. It's not over. Amen. Oh, you had that pain, and you know your great uncle, 5 times removed. He had that pain in his side, and you know what happened to him? He died. Well, that's all right, Mr. Devil. I've been redeemed from that. I've got victory. I'm going to triumph over it. Amen. Matter of fact, pain in the name of Jesus, get out of my side. Whatever's causing it, be rectified in Jesus' name. 1 John chapter 5. Amen. The life of God. The life of God. Whoo, man, when you know you've got God's life in you. John G. Lake did an experiment. They did an experiment with him when he was dealing with people that had the bubonic plague. People were dying and he wasn't being affected. They couldn't figure out why. And he said, it's because the life of God's in me. He said, I'll show you, I'll prove it to you. He said, look at some of that plague, that froth that come, look at it under the microscope. They looked at it and it was just active. And then from the same source, he scooped up some and put it in his hand. And then they looked at that under the microscope and it was totally dead. He said, the life of God in me is greater than the death that's in this plague. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, you don't do stuff like that unless God tells you to do stuff like that. Amen. But I'm telling you that if the life of God was in Lake, the life of God's in me. And it's in, it's the same life. You find 1 John 5, look at verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God, how many in here is born of God? You're born again. Overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world? But he that believes that Jesus Christ, that Jesus is the Son of God. What do we have victory over? The world. The world and all that's in it. Glory to God. Victory over it. Victory over it. The only thing left that has not been totally put under the feet of Jesus, and therefore not under our feet, is death, the death of this physical body. But that is the last enemy. That will, there will come a time when that will no, death will no longer even be in existence. There will come that time. All of creation's groaning for that time. We have the hope of the resurrection, the resurrected body. That's the last enemy. But everything else we have victory over. That's why, see, death is an enemy. That's why we fight it and hate it so much. No matter how long and how great a life a person had, we hate death because it's our enemy, right? We don't fear it because there's no sting in it, but we hate it because it's our enemy. But I'm not afraid of it. Hallelujah. Because through Christ, we always, always, always overcome the world. Finally, the life of God, when applied, causes us to live in what we could call divine health. Look at Romans chapter 5. That life that's in our spirit should and will affect this physical body. Look at Romans 5, verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Now this word here, saved, is from the word sozo, the English word we get from the Greek word, meaning that sozo. It means, it is translated to be made whole. It means to be healed, delivered. It means to be saved, yet born again. But he's talking more about being, more than being born again. So we're already reconciled to God through his son by his death. Much more now, being already reconciled, we are saved, we shall be saved by his what? Life. Well, let's read it. We shall be healed by his life. We shall be delivered by his life. We shall be made whole by his life. The life of God. Look at Romans 8. Romans 8, 11. Glory to God. If the spirit of him, rather, that raised Christ Jesus, up Jesus from the dead, dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, word means make alive, your mortal body by his spirit that dwells in you. There says here, to give an increase of life, thus of the physical life. In other words, that spirit of God that's in us, the very life of God that's in us, will cause this mortal body to be full of life also. Amen? I mean, look at your hand. Just hold up one of your hands right now. On the inside of you, in that hand, is the life of God. Because it's in us. It's permeating every part of me. The life of God is in us. That's why Wigglesworth and others said, I'm 10,000 times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. Because that life, when we lay hands on the sick, when we lay hands on people to bless, that life can be transferred to others. It goes into action and it drives out sickness and disease. Amen. Just recently in a church and ministered along these lines about the life of God being in us, and then ministered by the laying on of hands, and got testimony here just recently of several people who were blessed and things happened. Amen? Why? Because I told them that life is transferable. And if you're a Christian, it's in you. When I, as a Christian, lay my hands on you, who's a Christian, that life comes together. That's in each of us. Glory to God. And then finally, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. the life of God, the life of God, the power of God, the glory of God. It's in us. Say, it's in me.
It's in me.
Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7 says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, this glory, this life. We have it right now. It's inside, that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Whew, man. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. That we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. That's like Paul saying, I've been crucified with Christ, yet I live. Yet not I. The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He's saying there, we're going about, we're bearing about the dying of the Lord, but we've got the life in us. Verse 12, so then death works in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. We need to learn to speak words of life over ourselves and over our situations, right? Speak life, glory to God. Let's all stand up together. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you tonight for the life of God being in us. We thank you tonight, Father God, that that life is a well of living water springing up on the inside of us, saturating every part of our body with the fresh, pure, living water of life. Thank you, Father God. Though our outward man perish, this inward man's being renewed day by day with that life. Thank you, Father God. We give you praise and honor, give you glory. In Jesus' name. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, don't leave this place tonight. Be born again. Come into the family of God and receive the eternal life of God into your very spirit. Become a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. All things are new and all things are of God. And you'll begin to see things in your life that you never thought possible before. If you don't know Jesus, come tonight and accept him as your Lord and Savior. If you need prayer for any other thing, the ladies are on my right, your left, the men over here, my left, and your right. Come down, men to the men, ladies to the ladies. Praise the Lord.